Continuing in as much of a prayerful spirit as possible, being that we are in the presence of the exposed Blessed Sacrament, we will continue where we left off discussing the growth in the spiritual life, and I want to focus primarily in this conference on the purgative way, the first three mansions. And then tomorrow morning's conference, we'll talk about the most important, that very important transition between the purgative way to the what's called illuminative way, or what St. Teresa refers to as the fourth mansion. It's a very, very important transition, which involves the crossing of a certain desert, from going predominantly from the practice of meditation to predominantly the reception of contemplation. St. John of the Cross gives three specific signs of what that desert looks like when we're making that important transition in our spiritual life. So this conference is just going to be on the purgative way. And then we'll hopefully, for the Mass, we'll be talking about wrapping it up and about the final mansions, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Excuse me, the 5th, 6th, and 7th. The 8th, if you're Conchita Cabrera. Conchita Cabrera's... Saint Conchita Cabrera said that she got to the 8th mansion, even higher than Teresa. I don't know if that's true, only God knows. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. Amen. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. May the Lord bless us and draw us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Okay, these are just some basic stepping stones for each of the three stages, and then we'll discuss a little bit more in depth about some particulars. Again, this is just a rough draft of some basic points. It's not an exhaustive representation of the mansions by any means, but it's a start, I think. The first stage, we talked a little bit about it. It's a state of friendship with God. That's how it's identified, primarily a state of friendship with God. Being, quote-unquote, on good terms with God, but not on the level of deep intimacy yet. Not so much yet a personal relationship, but just living a godly life as best as possible. So that's the big difference. You know, one is trying to be as observant of one's religion and faith as possible, live a good, godly, decent life. But there's not so much a deep personal relationship yet, first stage. There's, in the first stage, usually a conscientious effort to avoid mortal sin. No longer captive, as it were, to the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the same extent as those outside the castle, because at least now there's some kind of prayer life in place. The common form of prayer that's here in the first stage is vocal prayer, recited prayers, communal prayer, the rosary. Those are all good things, but it's predominantly just vocal prayer. You know, for example, praying before meals and after meals, the rosary on occasions, if not maybe every day in some cases, going to Mass on Sunday, the guardian angel prayer before going to bed, simple things like this, first stage. There's no manifestations of the actions of God in this soul. Nothing extraordinary or supernatural happening, no manifestations. The primary gift of the spirit in terms of what the scholastics called, if I understand it right, the gifts of moral perfection. The primary gift of the spirit here is fear of the Lord, which is a good thing. It's the first stage of wisdom, as the scriptures say, fear of the Lord. You don't want to offend God. As we say in the act of contrition, trying to, these sins, how does it go? The classic act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm sorry for my sins and choosing to sin and failing to do good. My sins have something in regards to hell. Fear of hell. Something in regards to wanting to avoid hell. Knowing that hell is real and not wanting to go there. That's pretty good. That's a good start. Fear of the Lord. Second stage. The second stage is an active life of friendship. The first stage was the stage of friendship with God on that level. Now it's going deeper to an active life of friendship. A spiritual life now is starting to begin. Now there's starting to be a personal relationship with Jesus. It's becoming more meaningful and important to me personally on a deeper level than it was before. Now people are saying, I was Catholic all my life. I didn't know it was the any of this stuff. I didn't know it could be this good. I didn't know it, adoration, or I didn't know about all these other things, all these great treasures of the church. I didn't know about any of that. I've been Catholic my whole life going to church. And it feels like for the first time I'm discovering Catholicism. For the first time I'm discovering Jesus. This is the second stage. Searching for a deeper meaning in life and all the strength of heart and will is now directed to growing spiritually. Whereas before I was just into shopping and fashion and sports and television and entertainment and vacation. I was trying to be as good as possible, but that was ultimately my passions were those things. But now for the first time, I'm serious about wanting to grow spiritually. It's important to me. I'm making it a priority. In this new birth in grace, one begins to become a new creation. A new self begins to emerge, the true self. The soul applies itself to a deeper prayer than before. Now one has become exposed and interested and begun to practice meditation, what St. Teresa refers to as mental prayer, recollection, a peace of soul is sought after. The correction of our faults on a more refined level. We become more aware of our faults on a different level. Become more conscientious about the need to detach ourselves from things that are holding us back from growing spiritually. And we begin to really consider organizing a certain kind of plan, if you will, for our spiritual life. Wanting to put our spiritual life in order. Really examining our conscience now. You know, before it was just kind of like going through the motions or not really being aware even or taking time to examine our conscience. But now that's starting to be kicked into gear, so to speak. On the other side of the coin, of the proverbial coin, in the second stage of this active life of friendship where the spiritual life is now finally to be starting, a personal relationship with Jesus is developing, the soul in its prosperity can tend to easily become pompous, spiritually pompous. Spiritual pride is dominant here, as our Holy Father St. John of the Cross talks about in the Ascent. In other words, as a result of a new lush experience of the spiritual life, we can easily look down on others who don't know what we've come to know. The soul tends to attribute a great deal to itself, and it presumes it's we ourselves who have gained this victory, as if we've earned it or deserved it, or as if we're more special than others. The soul believes it is very far advanced and desires to make converts of everybody, that everyone be where it's at. This is a normal thing. Whenever we experience something wonderful, we want others to share it. Whenever we've, as Plato said in that beautiful analogy of the cave, once we've come out of the darkness of the cave that we thought was the whole reality, and we've come to see the light outside of the cave in the real world, to put in modern terms, postmodern terms, once we've come out of the matrix, We want to show other people. We want to lead other people. We want to share it. And we easily want to, we can become, we tend to become almost pushy in wanting to share our faith and wanting to make converts of everybody. And so the classic example of this is for Christmas now, we're getting people, you know, the salvation kit, putting in their a scapular and a rosary and a prayer book and all these things. And that's a good thing. I'm not making a joke out of it. It's a good thing. But it's just kind of typical of a new convert. You know, it's a normal stage of a transition and growth. And after the high honeymoon, perhaps similar to that of the three apostles at the Transfiguration, the soul is now confronted. After this honeymoon, the soul is now confronted with aridity, which means dryness, and trials. And it can easily become discouraged. For example, now one can become far more aware of oneself and one's own issues than ever before. Because now that there's a personal relationship, Jesus says, okay, now that there's a personal relationship, and I've proven to you how good my love is, how good I am, how worthy of trust I am, now that you're following me, let's take some time to clean things up. And we go through this desert of aridity, and all that we can seem to be aware of is no longer receiving lights about coming to know God and his greatness in different ways, and relishing the different ways in which God, we learn about God and the things of God and the way, the joy that that brings into our life, which is a new experience of joy, a better experience of joy. But now that it's dry, now I'm starting to see myself in a new light and areas of improvement and need for growth and healing that I have that I wasn't aware of before. I didn't even know I had these issues. I didn't even know I had these needs that needed to be attended to. The classic example of our Holy Father, St. John of the Cross, is the light shining through the window. Once, if the light isn't shining through the window, the spots are hardly visible. But once the light is shining, you can see all the scratches and all the spots and all the smudges and the nose marks when the kids are putting their face to it. All of that stuff is visible now. So we can be, a person can say things like this when they come to person, someone else for direction or for a friend, for assistance. You know, when they're experiencing these things, I'm far more aware of what's of these issues in my life, and you wonder, what's happening to me? Is this normal? Is this part of the turf? How can I, you know, change my mentality? How can I, where do I go from here? And so discouragement can easily settle in. And part of this is one's spiritual pride. Remember during all the consolation, that sense, that experience of new pastures and prosperity, as it were, in the Holy Spirit, as a result of that, the soul can become pompous. And now that the soul is seeing its faults and its defects and all of these things in their clearer light than before, now that same pride is becoming scandalized at itself and very discouraged. And so oftentimes, more often than not, discouragement comes from spiritual pride, because we relied on ourselves. And now we're surprised that we couldn't do it on our own. Or whatever.